Welcome back to Community Nulu, the Indigenous fortnightly show with Indigenous culture at the forefront. I'm your host, proud Tunnerong man, Nelson Aldrich. And if you listen to my show, you know that after every segment I say, and you can tune into 3MDR next week and catch my show on 3MDR. Well, today we've reversed the roles. I've been very lucky in my time, two or three times now, to go over to 3MDR and work with the amazing Phil Ruck, better known to people by Peej, on his own show, The Imaginary Friends Show, with Peej and Elliot. And I've brought him over to Hillsville today to interview him and, you know, give back, I should say. So I'd like to introduce you all to Phil Ruck, but I'm going to call you Peej for the show, mate, of course. And welcome to Community Nulu.
Thank you, Nels. Good morning. Lovely to come and visit you in beautiful Hillsville. And the first time in Yarra Valley FM studios, in the new digs.
In the new digs. Yeah. Well, we was Warrialik and now we are in Hillsville and it's a beautiful little setup down here. Mate, let's just get into it because me and you could chat. We've already been talking off air and, you know, we thought we better press the record button to get to actually make sure we don't just go, oh, well, that was pointless, wasn't it? Mate, the first question I always ask people is, who's your mob, where you're from? So it's essentially letting the audience know who you are, where you grew up and how you got to where you are.
Yeah, all right, cool. Thanks, Nels. Well, here I am. I'm finding myself in Hillsville, but I've been based in the Dandenong Ranges, an hour east of Nam, Melbourne, for the last 25 years. My family moved out from England in 1971. I was two. I wasn't involved in the relocation discussion. I was just popped on the boat, and apparently I got lost within the first 5 minutes of boarding the ship. And that's probably sort of explains a little bit about what's happened to me over my time. I just go wandering, I have to say. Grew up in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne and went to state schools, Forest Hill Primary, Nuttawanning High School, a couple of failed years of university, had an illustrious banking career, believe it or not, for about 13 years. I was a different person back then. And then moved out to the Dandenong Ranges. And, you know, property prices were starting to take off in Melbourne, not as ridiculous as they are now. And it was the only place that was affordable in the budget. I was married at the time and, set up home in Menzies Creek, Wurundjeri country there, and a beautiful part of the world. I've been there ever since, Nels, I have to say. Left the bank, just thought, oh, I can't do this anymore. There were people there that were miserable. And I thought, I'm going to end up miserable if I continue going down that path. So I thought, that's it, I'm done. I got myself a forklift license, did a bit of warehousing, got into demolition work somehow through a friend, and then stumbled into community radio in 2007.
Yeah.
And somehow, I don't know how it happened, Nels. Well, I had a few beers at a fundraising gig. That's how I got involved in the station, 3MDR. At the time when it was based in Emerald. And I don't know how, but I ended up becoming the station manager. They said they'd give me a go for 3 months when I applied for the job. And 13 years later, I got my first employment contract and position description. And then I resigned. I was cooked. I was done after the pandemic.
I like the wandering aspect of your life, and that's what you do. And then all of a sudden you've been stuck in the Dandenong Ranges. So I love that.
Yes.
That's a bit of a weird thing. The wandering stopped. Mate, community radio, I've been a part of it for near on a year and a half, maybe a bit over now. It's an incredible thing.
What got you involved?
Well, it's a good question. So I used to come in as a guest every year around NAIDOC week. I'd come on to Michael Goodridge's show, who also works at Yarra Rangers Council. So Mick's a good mate. He's a great bloke. So every year he'd bring me on. And I'd come on and obviously talk about NAIDOC and a bit about the local history of the area. And anyway, I walked out and Mick goes, geez, you know, you could do a show because you speak well.
I love it, yeah.
And I mean, I've been lucky enough to do some MC stuff and events, but I've never thought of radio, but I love radio.
Okay, so you did some public speaking before you got on radio.
Yes.
I got involved in radio because I hated public speaking. It was one of the biggest fears ever. Like I used to hold team meetings at work. in that, and like people I'd worked with for 5 years, and I was still pooping my pants.
Yep.
Every time, just had to have a little team meeting, talk out the front.
Yep.
And things.
Yep.
So radio was one of those things. I had no aspirations, but it sort of it's helped me boost my confidence.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Sorry,
No. Because what the funny side of it is, I wasn't good at public speaking either. I don't think anyone really is to do it.
Yeah.
I know some people are built for the stage, though. I know that. But I was thrown in the deep end. At work, we had Reconciliation Week events. Yep, it was sink or swim. And I started doing cultural awareness events and Reconciliation Week events and live streamed and in front of people. And it was, as you said, sink or swim. So I just learnt from there. Yeah. But then I spoke to Greg about an Indigenous themed show with Indigenous culture, interviewing whoever.
Yep,
about their life, and that's where it kicked off. So that's my path into community radio. I've loved it ever since. But you've got the Imaginary Friend show. Is that where it kicked off for you? Was there other things going on?
No, that was pretty much where it kicked off. At the fundraising gig, I just met all these people that were involved in 3MDR. It was, I think, 10 bands on. I only went to go and see one person perform, and that was Lloyd Spiegel.
Okay.
I just bought a Cole Clark guitar. Not that I want to, they're not sponsoring us or anything, but I wanted to find out how it sounded by someone who knew how to play the thing.
Yep.
And so he was first on the bill. My relationship was sort of on the wane, I guess you could say, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And community radio came along at the right time. So I went and saw Lloyd Spiegel play. I was blown away by the way this Cole Clark guitar sounded. I've never even been able to come close in my lounge room, but it doesn't matter. It gives me lots of joy, and that's the main thing. And 12 hours later, I walked out of the venue, and somewhere along the night, somebody said, why don't you put in a program proposal?
Mm.
Now, what? What are you talking about? And it's like, I'm going to give that a go. This would be like taking me right out of my own comfort zone. Like, never even thought of it, ever. And so I did. I think the application got lost somewhere. I followed it up about 6 months later, maybe. And then they gave me 6 hours of training. I sat in on a show with John Weeks on his world music program Spectrum on a Saturday. I just sat there for 2 hours and just watched. And then the following Saturday, John let me speak into a microphone. And then the following Saturday, John let me press some buttons on the panel. And he said, righto, mate, here's the key. You can start off at 4 a.m. on Wednesday. And I went, what? He's like, you don't even know me.
Mm.
And so I rocked up at 4 a.m. on Wednesday, tried to remember those four or five buttons that I'd pressed. And the 2 hours just disappeared. Like, I don't even know what happened. I didn't get a copy of that program. They didn't show me how to download it off the logger. It's just gone into the ether. And I've never looked back. I just thought, this is the most exciting thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
I stayed on 4 a.m. Wednesdays for a little while. And then the Monday breakfast crew got jobs. There were a few young folk. And they got gigs in the city, I think it was, and couldn't commit to a Monday morning program. So I got promoted to Monday breakfast, 6 till 9 a.m. And then I think I've done every morning, every day across the working week, at one point or other in my broadcasting, and I've just been on Tuesdays for the last 5-6 years or something.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. It's still a dream, Nels.
It's
still a dream. I pinch myself.
Yeah, of course, mate. I can relate again, going back to the sink or swim thing, I remember I come in for my first one with Greg, and Greg was showing me what the press and how to do it, and he goes, okay, and you're on in 10 minutes. And I said, what do you mean I'm on? And he goes, well, you're hosting the next hour, your show starts today. And I went, oh my god, okay, what do I talk about? He goes, whatever you want to talk about. So I'm in there going, okay, and
hello. Did you have a lot of arms? Did you do an count afterwards, Nels?
You try not to, don't you? But you do.
Yep.
It's a natural thing to throw a few ums in there, like right then. But what I certainly haven't done is listen to that show back, as you said.
You haven't?
No, yeah, I kind of, once it was done, it floated off into the abyss, and that's where it can stay. So, anyway.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? I don't know. I just love it. I absolutely love it. I love the idea of independent media, community broadcasting, you know, it's not dictated to by anyone. It's real people like you, me, yeah. and everybody else that's involved in Yarra Valley FM, yeah. 3MDR, or any number of the 400-plus radio stations
yep.
with community licences around the country.
Yep.
It's just blows my mind. So wherever I'm on a little road trip, I always try and find that local radio station because
yep.
you get the quirky voices, you get the local knowledge, and you just get stuff you don't hear anywhere else.
You hear music that you don't hear either.
Yes.
But that's the big thing, you know. How long can you, and I'm not knocking the Triple M's and all that, but you tune in, knock them. Well, you tune into them and it's like, all right, and here's Pearl Jam for the fifth time today. Yes. Here's AC/DC, Back in Black. We've played it every day this week, but we're going to play it again.
Yes.
And it's like, yep, okay, mainstream commercial. And then you tune into a community radio station and I'm hearing a song off an album that I've either never heard before or I'm going, yes, this is the best stuff of this artist finally being played. Yeah. You know, just little things like that.
Yep, I'm with you 100% on that, Nels. Like, seriously, the way I listen to music now is vastly different to how it was before I got involved in community radio. I listened to a bit of PBS back in the day, but, you know, it was Triple M or Triple J. I've aged out of Triple J a long time ago. But that's cool. That's you know, that's the way it works when that's those sorts of things. We're blessed with choice.
Yeah.
So I find it amusing and bemusing at the same time that people grumble about what they're hearing on the radio.
Yeah.
When it's like, you can just go and find something that you like
somewhere
else. I've never understood why people, you know, make themselves suffer through stuff they don't enjoy when they don't have to.
Don't have to.
It's very a weird thing.
You know, one of the things about community radio that it's such an important part of culture, I think, for everyone, is that with the devices and the phones and the iPods and all that stuff, is that people are just, you know, putting them on and playing those. And it was a bit of a worry of what does this mean for radio in a way, but it's never really faltered, has it?
I think it's always going to play a part. Like the media landscape is, most definitely changing at a rapid rate, particularly with the rise of streaming services and all those sorts of things. I'm resisting those.
Yep.
And I don't have any subscriptions to any streaming platform at all. And I don't tap into friends with their passwords and things like that. I scour the dial. Or I amass music through record stores and things. I just bought a record from the off shop next door to Yarra Valley FM here. And I thought, oh, this looks interesting. It looks like a bit of a protesty sort of album. I know nothing about it. I'm going to put it on the turntable when I get home and see what it's like and things. But going to gigs, buying music is where I find real joy in the art form and things. So community radio is my Spotify, basically. And I have humans doing the job of the algorithm, exposing me to stuff that I've never heard before.
You've never heard.
Yeah.
Well, I still buy CDs and all that, like you and the records. And my partner will go, you know, what's your thought process? Because they don't make CD players. I said, well, it's supporting the musician.
Yes.
For one. That's the main thing to me. Someone who grew up in a bit of a musical family and kind of around the industry a little bit, is any support to give the artist is key. I truly believe. And not only that, but how cool a little CD. That's, you know, people collect.
It's a tangible item. You've got the sleeve notes. There's artwork involved, you know, album covers, especially a fold-out, you know, gatefold album sort of thing with pictures and artworks and things. So, I don't know. It just gives me joy. And it's screen-free.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to turn on your phone to get there
and
sort of just get distracted instantly or hit with something instantly through
doom scrolling.
Yeah, doom scrolling. I had never heard of that. But, I don't do it. I do, in a sense. I guess I can't say I don't.
Mm.
But I don't have social media accounts either and things, which are, like, it wasn't good for me. It was just rotting me. It was making me mad and things. I thought, I don't want to be mad.
Yep.
I want to be happy.
Of course. Well, we're only on this planet for one time and a short time. So
it's a very short time in the scheme of things.
You've got to be happy, don't you?
You do. It should be the ultimate goal. Yeah. And it's somewhere along the line, if we just digress from everything, I don't know what the mentality is of sort of, you know, the measure of success is accumulating wealth and having a ginormous house or, you know, any number of properties and a fancy car and all those sorts of things. And ultimately, I just see miserable people.
Yep.
And they seem to have it all, but it's all material.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't know how that came to be.
Mm.
At all, I haven't got the answers, Nels.
It's a very Buddhist thought of approach, and with happiness, as myself and my boss talk about this a lot, is, you know, to know hot, you must know cold. So yeah. You know, they talk about that happiness, you must know sadness and things like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that makes sense.
It all fits in the yin and the yang type of thing, I suppose. Where are we going?
I don't know.
Where are we going? Look, we'll go back to music. We'll go back to the music. So, mate, let's talk some music.
Okay.